Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
The scripture today is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. You can find it on your Pew Bible, page 955. Hear the word of the Lord. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us then who are mature be of the same mind, and if you think differently about anything, this too God will reveal to you. Only let us hold fast to what we have attained. The word of the Lord.
The Lord is with you. And Peter, thank you for reading these scriptures for us this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Lord God, you have called us to run the race that you have set before us. We confess this morning that we are weary, we're frustrated, we sometimes want to give up, we sometimes want to stop. But we thank you for these words of Scripture, that they would encourage us and lift us up and strengthen us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So before we come to the communion table, I want you to think with me this morning about that word that's repeated twice in our reading. You saw it in verse 12 and in verse 14. And by the way, if you want to pick up a copy of the Pew Bible, it's page 955, and just follow the logic of what Paul is saying. He mentions that word. It comes in the English in the form of a phrase, press on, but it's actually one word, and he mentions it twice. You know, when I was living in the city of Chicago, well, I didn't live in the city, but I lived in Evanston, and I had to travel to these big hospitals in downtown Chicago. They felt like mini cities. I would always be so intimidated because I'm new to the area, new to the city, new to the hospital, and I walk in these massive doors, and you see a million options as to where you could go, and you're not sure which way to turn. And often when I've gone into buildings like that, just massive buildings with lots of hallways, so as to not get lost, I often look for what I call a wayfinding map, and I walk over to it because invariably when you walk over to that wayfinding map, there are those magical words, you are here. And from your laughter, I imagine you have had the same kind of befuddlement when you walk into certain spaces. I find those words comforting. You are here. It does two simple things for me, at least. One, it tells me that this is where you are right now, not where you wish you were, not where you used to be, not where you fear you are. But this is where you actually are, and I find that comforting. But secondly, it also tells me how to move forward. Once you know where you are, once you know your location, then you can stop wondering, your anxiety levels go down, you stop guessing, and you start taking the next step toward where you're meant to go. And as I was pondering this text, it brought me back to a friend of mine that I've known who lives in Jamaica. He and his wife now passed away, sadly, way too early. But I've known this brother since we were 14 years old. And I remember visiting him once when I traveled back to Jamaica, and he said to me, you know, how we plan our vacation? And he pointed to this map of Jamaica in his house, and he says, I take a dart every year, and I throw the dart at the map, and wherever it lands, that's where our family is going to spend vacation. And it didn't surprise me about Billy, because this guy is the most adventurous guy I've ever met, and I said to him, I could never do that. I would never do that on vacation. Judith wouldn't let me. And I would certainly not do that with my life. And as I read this text again, I would imagine that Paul would also never do that. You get the sense from Paul that he is not in the business of just going with the flow. He's not in the business of drifting. Paul refuses to wander. He refuses the illusion that spirituality is just seeing where things land. Again, he says these words, not that I have already obtained this, and we'll talk more about what this is, but he says, I press on. And so the Christian life, the life of faith, the journey with Jesus isn't dart throwing. It's direction. It's a pursuit. It's pressing on toward Jesus Christ. And so I had the crazy idea, and I thought I would ask you if you agree with me. Wouldn't it be wonderful that in our discipleship life, our walk with Jesus, that there would be these you are here signs, letting us know how we're doing, letting us know whether we're stuck, we're running, we've stopped, you are here, to tell us where we are in the life of prayer, to tell us where we are on this map of spiritual maturity, to tell us where we are in the use or non-use of our spiritual gifts, to tell us where we are in our self-control and how we use our words and how we interact with other people. Wouldn't it be wonderful? It would be tremendously helpful, I think, to have that kind of you are here in the Christian life, because it would provide so much clarity. Because if we're honest, and this is a word you'll hear over and over again this morning, if we are honest, many of us live either with levels of confusion. We don't know where we are on the spiritual map. Many of us, some of us, maybe live with pretending. We pretend like we are on the path, when in fact, maybe we are stalled. And I've been there. Maybe we are stuck in our journey. I'm not sure where I am. I don't know. I don't want anyone else to know that I don't know where I am. And so we see this word in verse 12, press on. It's one word in the Greek, and it means to pursue. It's a colorful word, actually. It means to chase, to press after. It's a very intense word. It can even mean to hunt down. And Paul, it's the second thing I observe about that word, he writes it in the present tense, which means that this is not a one and done. It is a continuous action. I keep on pressing on. I keep on pursuing. I keep on moving forward. And that's why I think this translation that we have in the New Revised Standard, it's a good translation, to press on. It implies then that the Christian life, the life with Jesus, it's not passive, it's not random. Yes, there are obstacles. The devil will not allow you to run your race unimpeded. And so, yes, there will be obstacles, distractions, temptations, resistance. There are things that will slow us down to try to knock us off course, but Paul uses that word, press on. Keep moving toward the goal. And, of course, the question is, what kind of goal? What is the goal? Well, last Sunday, to an empty sanctuary, I read these words from Philippians 3 that you see on the sign, on the screen. This is Paul's goal. I want to know Jesus. I want to know the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. Of course, he doesn't mean that I'm going to go hang on a cross. I don't think that's what he means. But he's ready to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. I want that, he says, so that somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And so when you look at Paul's goal, it's not about self-improvement. It's not about spiritual status. It's not about moral perfection. His goal is a person. It's Jesus Christ. And so he's pressing on toward a life that is so united in Christ that he's wanting to share Christ's sufferings, and he also wants to share the resurrection. That's his goal. That's what he's aiming for. And Paul would tell you that I'm going to keep running until that day when Jesus calls me home, and then his work in me will be finished. In fact, he says that later on, doesn't he, in his letter to Timothy. He says, I've fought a good fight. I'm ready to be poured out as a drink offering, he says to Timothy, and I've fought a good fight. And he's not bragging when he says it. It's just the truth. He says, I've kept the faith. He says, I've finished the course. I've finished my race. And now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord will give not only to me, he says, but to everyone who loves his appearing. So Paul put his money where his mouth is, didn't he? He knows where he is. He knows where he wants to go. But he also is very honest in saying that I haven't arrived yet. That's not where I am yet. I haven't reached my destination. I'm still on the path. I'm still under construction. Jesus' work of sanctification in my life is not yet done, so I press on. And I love that, friends. I love that kind of honesty. I love that sense of vulnerability and openness, because so often we feel ashamed if we tell someone that I'm struggling, or we feel sort of superior to someone when we find out that they're struggling. And Paul says, no, that's not the way it works. We're not there yet. I'm pressing on. And I think that's the tension of the Christian life that Paul wants the Philippians and us to understand and feel, that this business of flourishing in Christ, of walking with Christ, is not a con job. It's not about pretending that we're there. It's not about pretending that we've finished the race. Rather, it is about staying true to ourselves, and we're running that race knowing that Jesus is ahead of us. And Jesus is with us. Listen to how he describes his life, his very incomplete life. You'll see that in verse 8, what we read last week. He says, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I now regard them as, and it's a very colorful Greek word that's used there, but we'll go with the word rubbish. I regard them as rubbish, skubala, in order that I may gain Christ. Again, let's be careful now. Paul isn't saying, I've reached the pinnacle. I'm not perfect. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying. He is affirming the incompleteness of his own journey, and he is saying that I'm still in process, I'm pressing on, I want you to do the same. But in order to press on toward Jesus Christ, we must learn to forget what lies behind. That's difficult for some of us. Now here he's not talking about amnesia. He's talking about release. He's refusing to live his life under the weight of what used to define him. And there's nothing more unpleasant. There is nothing more troubling than seeing a man or a woman who has lost their way because who they used to be and what they used to do and the things and the accolades they received for who they thought they were and what they did, those accolades are no longer coming in, and they're now saying, who am I in light of these things? Paul doesn't have that problem. He says, what lies behind me is the baggage of my old life. I once held these things so dear, my credentials, my achievements, my religious performance, the things that I built solidly and which I based my identity, all those things that I depended on, all those things that people regarded me for, he says, I now count them as loss and as rubbish. And I'm saying to you this morning that we will never be able to move forward as a people of God, by looking in the rearview mirror. We will never be able to run the race that God has put before us if we're constantly looking in the rearview mirror. Yes, it's important to identify with our past. We must do that. But we cannot be imprisoned by our past. Paul says, I have let go of what's behind. And he's not saying it doesn't matter, all the degrees and all the things. It's not that he's saying those things don't matter. He's saying, though, compared to knowing Jesus Christ as the center of my identity, those things don't matter anymore. Christ matters more. And that's why I'm pressing on. And don't you love the clarity of what he says he sees ahead? Look at verse 14. He says, I press on. I keep running toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's Paul's North Star. Nothing fuzzy about this brother. He doesn't have one foot in the kingdom and one foot in the world, and he's being pulled back and forth. None of that stuff. Paul is all in. How about you? And this got me thinking about the 2026 Winter Olympic Games. They actually start this Friday in Italy. And imagine if somehow those athletes showed up at the Olympic Village and you're there and you walk up to one of the athletes and ask, so why are you here? And how confusing it would be if the athlete said, well, you know, I've always wanted to visit Italy, so that's why I'm here. Imagine you went up to one of the speed skaters getting ready to step onto the ice. You say, so what are you aiming for today? Well, I'm not really sure what I'm aiming for today. Imagine you go up to one of the downhill skiers at the top of the mountain and you say, so how do you think you're gonna do? Well, I don't know. I'm just gonna see what happens. Listen. You go up to these athletes, they know exactly why they're there. They've trained for years, sometimes their whole lives, for a moment, a fleeting moment like that. They've reordered their schedules, their bodies, their diets, their sleep, their finances, their relationships around one singular, clear purpose. Their goal is not vague. Their focus is not divided. They're not wandering. They're pursuing. And in Philippians 3, Paul says there is something similar is going on with all of us. Only what we're running after is infinitely deeper. This is the one thing I do, he says, I press on. I press on. But here's the difference. The Olympic athletes, they're pressing on for a medal that over time is going to be put in a drawer somewhere. We are pressing on for a prize that will never fail, never fade. Their goal is to be on that podium. Our goal is a person, and that's Jesus Christ. And that's the question Philippians 3 puts before us today. And I think these questions are critical because in every church, there are people who are ready to give up on your marriage. You're ready to give up on the church. You're ready to give up on your faith. You're ready to give up because it's getting too hard. The race is too overwhelming. Let me ask you these questions so that you can then reorient yourself and so you can press on. One question I would ask of you is, do you know what you're living for? Do you know who you're living for? Are you trying to run your race looking back, looking sideways, looking everywhere instead of looking straight ahead to that heavenly call? Hear these words again from Paul, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward that goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. We read similar words from the writer of the book of Hebrews. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin that clings so closely, and let us run our race with perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. There it is again. Jesus, the forerunner, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith, who finished his race. And I love what Paul does as he gets to the end of our reading this morning. He says, let all who are mature think this way, meaning that all of us would be able to say, I'm not there yet. God's still working on me. God is still working in me. And I'm going to keep running the race to which he has called me. Hold fast to what you've attained and keep running that race. Here's the good news, though. As we approach this table this morning, I want you to remember that this table is not finally about how tightly we're holding on to Jesus. Paul says he's already taken hold of us. He has claimed us. We're his. We know where we are. We know where we're going. That's the good news. The second thing I want you to know, brothers and sisters, is that we don't come to this table because we've arrived. Paul says if you're mature, if you're sober-minded, you will have that same mind. You will know that you haven't arrived. So we come to the table not as people who have finished the race. We come because we're hungry runners, hungry travelers, and we come because we need to be refueled for the pressing on. And if you feel like you're in a rut this morning, if you feel like you're staring in the rearview mirror, if you think it's time to give it up, to chuck it in, and to just walk away, I'm going to ask you this morning to take a look at what these signs represent. They represent our Lord Jesus Christ in that Garden of Gethsemane, saying to us, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. And Jesus pressed on. He woke those sleepy disciples up and he said, come now. My hour has arrived. My betrayer is at hand. Come, let's go. And he pressed on to the cross. And so when we come to this table, you're discouraged, you're weighed down. I want you to look at those elements and ask the Lord to open your eyes and say, Lord, you finished that race. You have me in your care. Give me the strength to make it through Monday. Give me the strength to run through Tuesday and to continue following you. We press on even as we come to the table. And I urge you to do that. The prize that awaits us is worth giving our lives for. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let's pray together. Oh God, you are indeed the pearl of greatest price, more precious than anything this world can give. Would you give us hearts that treasure you above all else? Loosen our grip on lesser things. Deepen our joy in Jesus Christ. Lord, by your Spirit, make us a people who gladly surrender all to you to gain you, and who live with the freedom and the hope of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today.
If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.